Well, good morning. It's nice to be with you all this morning. Usually when I go to a place to preach that I haven't been for quite some time, you know, to break the ice, I usually use the same joke, and I usually say it like this: is that I can tell that you're a really good people because I can tell you're real generous. Because everybody knows that the back seats cost more. And it usually works, but we've got too many cheapskates here, so it doesn't quite work the same. But I'm sure you're still generous, especially if you're closer to the back. But my name is David Vanderveld. I grew up just up the road here. I don't know what they call it now. It was the second concession of Rodden when I was at Demarest Road. Is that what it's called? Right. And if you know Bill and Beth DeVries, they live in the house that I grew up in. So that's where we come from. And I came to youth group here and some services and made some real good lifelong friends. When I was 18, I left and went to Briarcrest Bible College and spent 4 years there studying theology. And after that, I went to Regent College in Vancouver. To study more, and while I was there, I had a call from the Lord to become a preacher. I had hoped to become a professor, but the Lord upgraded me. So after I was finished there, it was in the year 2000 that I started at a church in Abbotsford, British Columbia, where I served for 12 years together with my wife, and we had our two children there. They're both grown now. In their early 20s, and after 12 years of there, we moved to Stony Creek here in Ontario. It was important to us to be closer to our family once again, but not so close that we had to cut their lawn. So we moved to Stony Creek, and I was a pastor there for 11 years. And just after COVID, I was offered a position with Calvin. Theological Seminary, which is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to help them develop a web-based program that helps resource pastors and worship leaders. And so I've been working on that for the last couple of years, and it allows me to work remotely. As I work there, my wife also has a position with us. I supervise about 10 people, and we are putting together this project. So that's what I do. Excuse me. I also speak quite a bit at a number of churches in the area, and I'm happy to be here. Some of you know, most of you probably don't. Fun fact, the very first time I ever spoke was here at Grace Chapel, and I was 19. It was an evening service. They don't trust you, you know, first time in the morning. At least they didn't back then. And so it was an evening service, and some of the young people were singing and had a band. And so we gathered, and I had the opportunity to, they gave me $60 for it. I mean, when you're a student, that's pretty good. But anyways, we get up here, and at that time, you guys had a big pulpit. I don't remember what it was, but it was movable. It was big. At least I remember it was big, and I was happy about that because I was so nervous. Like, my knees were literally, like, they were just, even like at supper time beforehand, I was so nervous. Pit sweat and everything, it was just bad. And then we got here, and I walk in, and there's just a music stand sitting there, like, not the pulpit anymore. They moved it off to the side so that all the instruments and everything could be there, and I was just like so nervous about it, and like, oh, now everyone's gonna see my knees knocking, and I don't have this thing to hide behind. And so, you know, the youth, the young guys, they did their singing and their music, and it was really good. And then I kind of made up this excuse that I had a lot of papers. Like, I mean, the first time you're preaching, you're not supposed to lie, but it was like, I got all these papers here, and there's not enough room on the music stand, and so I just still remember Norman and Wayne lifting this big pulpit up onto the stage and putting it there for me. And the real reason was just because I didn't want people to see my knees knocking. So I see they got this one here for me today. But my knees don't knock anymore, so that's good. But, you know, it didn't go very well. I remember I preached on the temptations of Jesus from Matthew, book of Matthew, and it was not good. Like, it was not good. And so, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, think 30 years ago, one of the people in the church, you know, real key, godly man, everybody knew and respected, and I did too, he fell asleep. And, you know, like sometimes, like I told my dad after dad said, oh, he's probably just praying. I was like, people don't pray like, you know, that's not praying. So he fell asleep. And I was like, got to get this over with. And so afterwards, you stand at the door and people shake your hands. And this particular gentleman comes up and he wants to be encouraging. And he says to me, you know, that is one of the finest words I've heard in a long time. And on the one hand, I thought, why, you liar, but I guess I was lying too, so it makes two of us tonight. And then, but he was trying to be encouraging, and I appreciated that. And so, well, that was 30 years ago, and it's taken you that long to invite me back, so it can't be that bad. And if I'm still alive in 30 years, you can ask me again, I suppose. Anyway. I want us to look this morning at the first chapter of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Oh, by the way, in my little biography, we live in Belleville now, so we're pretty close by. Genesis chapter 1, we'll read the whole chapter together. Beautiful chapter, worth reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to its various kind. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, fourth day. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, there was morning the fifth day. You know what happens, right? As you get fatter, your eyes get worse. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's pray together. Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would bless us, that you would teach us through it, that you would encourage us and build us up. In Jesus' name it is that we pray. Amen. So when we moved to Stony Creek, there was a pool right around the corner. And I thought to myself I could probably use some daily exercise. And so I joined the AquaFit group. It was me and a bunch of senior citizens, and we would do our aqua aerobics most mornings throughout the week. And as time went on and the years went on, I made some friendships. We would gather after AquaFit in the mornings. AquaFit would start at 9, and then at 9:45 we'd meet at McDonald's for a coffee and a little bit of conversation, and it was a good time. And then COVID hit. And you know what happened with COVID. Everything started to shut down, and so there was no more AquaFit, and there was no more McDonald's. And I think a group of the people who gathered together, we didn't really miss swimming. We missed McDonald's time. And so a couple of them started meeting on the, they'd go through the drive-thru, grab their coffee, and then they'd sit in lawn chairs 6 feet away to make sure the police didn't get them, and chit-chat on the lawn at McDonald's. And so I started to join them. I remember this one time, went through the drive-thru, grabbed my drink, and we sat in our lawn chairs 6 feet apart, and we were talking together, and somehow got to the kind of the topic of where did the coronavirus come from? And so, you know, one person said, well, I think it was made in a lab, you know, and then there's the whole terrorist thing. The Chinese are trying to kill us, so they sent it here. And someone suggested that it was always there. It was just trapped in the melting ice caps. And so that's where it came from when the ice caps melt. Someone else said it came from rotten meat. And then one person said, you know what, I don't know. I just think it was an act of God. To which another woman who everybody knew she didn't think much of church and God. She says, well, if it was an act of God, then God must have been asleep on the night shift. Remember that. God asleep on the night shift. Well, we come to Genesis chapter 1, and many things could be said about this first chapter of the book of Genesis. It starts at a dizzy pace. If I were reading the Bible for the first time and just picked it up, never seen it before, and started at page 1, I'd get to the end of Genesis and I'd say to myself, this book is going to be a page-turner. It's a gripping opening. There are countless messages waiting to be spoken out in this first chapter. We could speak this morning about God's almighty power or his holiness or providential care. We could talk about God's fatherhood or about the mystery that God is one in a trinity of persons. We could study the beauty of creation and the mandate given to human people. It's all there, right there on the first page. As I was looking at it a few weeks ago, I noticed something again that often passes us by. I've noticed it before. even though it's repeated six times. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And there was evening and there was morning the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day. Most scholars simply regard this refrain, and there was evening and there was morning on that particular day, as a way of dividing Hebrew poetry into six different verses, with each verse describing a stage in God's creative action. And that's all fine and dandy, but listen very carefully to the particular wording. And there was evening and there was morning. I would guess that most of our days go a little differently from this. Your morning starts, I would guess, at maybe 6 or 7 or 8 a.m. and a nasty buzzer that gets you out of your slumber and tells you your dreams are over and it's time to get on with your day. It's time to have a shower and to shave, maybe to do your hair. Maybe you put on some makeup. You get dressed, you eat some breakfast, you organize your thoughts and your day so that your busy work is efficient. Sometimes our days even begin before the buzzer goes off. We lay in bed planning and worrying and organizing and thinking about all those things we have to do and how it is that we're going to go about doing them. If your day is anything like mine, you spend it running from activity to activity, from demand to demand, from pressure to pressure, from one work to another. You manage a quick lunch, couple of cups of coffee, somewhere between 4:30 and 6, you get home, you grab some supper, before you are busied with a house to keep and a family to nurture and a marriage to build and maybe some days in the week a church to attend and a whole list of work that still needs to be done. Before you know it, it's late. You look at the clock and you sigh, you brush your teeth, you go to bed so that tomorrow you'll be refreshed again for the demands and complications and pressures of your life's work. It sounds like run-on sentences, it's because we often have run-on days. We might be tempted to say, and there was morning, and there was evening on another day. That's the way our days often go, right? Morning till evening, morning till evening, morning till evening. Even sleep is a means toward an end. It's a chore to be done. We sleep in the evening so that we can work in the morning. Everything in life is focused on what happens from morning till evening. And then we come to Genesis chapter 1. We read about God working, and at the end of the day's work comes the text, and there was evening and there was morning. Sounds kind of backwards, doesn't it? There was evening, there was morning. But why did God describe the dynamics of his work week in these terms? Why doesn't it start at night? Why does it start at night? Our days start in the morning. That's when the work starts. That's when we get going. That's the way our days go. Morning till evening, morning till evening, morning till evening. That's when it starts in the morning. But where we start in the morning and work till evening, it appears that God starts in the evening and then finishes up in the morning. And there was evening and there was morning. What might God be trying to say to us through this repeated refrain in Genesis chapter 1? What is God saying to us by the order of the words? Scholars don't often ask that question, or at least they don't tend to answer it in a way that is really that helpful. Most of them see our text as a way of distinguishing, as I said, one verse of Genesis poetry from another verse, and that hardly answers the question I'm asking this morning. Others go into long discussions about the length of the days recorded here, and that doesn't really help us this morning either. One commentary I have on my shelf on the book of Genesis notices the order and reminds us that Jews started measuring their days in the evening, but then going on to suggest that doesn't really make much difference. I just can't help but wonder if there's more to this morning's text than these scholars want to see. You see, words matter, especially when it comes to the words of Scripture. God talks to us through these words. What is God trying to say to us through this repeated line in Genesis chapter 1? What is God saying to us by the order of these words, and there was evening and there was morning? When evening came, God started working. By his word, he created, taking empty darkness and making it light. Controlling the photons of the universe obviously took immense power. When he was done, he called the light day and the darkness night, and then it was morning, and it was good. The word good here has the connotation of completion, of blessing, of well-being. God was done for the day. He was content with his work because all was as it should be. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then when evening came again, God started his work. He undertook the massive project of dividing the waters to create the sea and the sky. And when morning came, it was good. God was done for the day. He was content with his work, for all was as it should be. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. Of the next evening, God started on the day, on the dry land, to produce trees and plants and vegetation of all kinds. And when morning came, it was good. God was done for the day. He was content with his work, for all was as it should be. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. Of the next evening, God went to work on the sky. He brought forth the sun to shine in the day and the moon and the stars at night. And when morning came, it was good. God was done for the day. He was content with his work, for all was as it should be. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. The next evening, God worked in the sea and in the air. He made the waters to teem with life and the skies to fill with birds. And when morning came, it was good. God was done for the day. He was content with his work, for all was as it should be. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And evening came again. And God made every living creature that roams the land. He made animals and insects and worms and snakes and every other living creature. Then he made human people in his own image, and giving them the mandate to care for and to govern the earth. And when morning came, God said it was very good. God was done. He was content with his work, for all was as it should be. It was finished and complete, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The picture we get from this rhythm, this repeated refrain, is that God worked through the night, evening till morning, so that together with his creation, he could celebrate his good work during the day. In quite a powerful way, God perhaps is saying something to us this morning. He's saying something that is consistent throughout the Scriptures. God worked so that we might be blessed. That is the picture painted here in Genesis chapter 1. God created mankind in his own image. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every seed has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." Then God saw that he has made, and it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. God did it all in the first 6 days. He worked his creative wonders, and when all was completed, we were the ones who received blessing. Everything was given to our care, to rule, and to enjoy, and when God saw all that he had made, it was very good. And this is not only true for our creation, but when we get to the New Testament, we find out that it is true also for our recreation. Listen to Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God did the work so that we could be blessed. When we were in the darkness of sin and callous to his call, God, having chosen us before the creation of the world and loved us as his own, was at work. God did it all. He was there creating the circumstances of our lives so that we might listen. He was working, nudging us by his Spirit and enabling us to hear his word. When you and I came into the light of salvation, we celebrated what God had done for us. God worked through the darkness until the light of the morning shone in your life and in my life, where we awoke from our deathly slumber to celebrate his life. This morning's text is true for the very rhythm of our lives, for the very spirituality of our Christian faith. We can be busy with all sorts of demands and complications and pressures competing for our attention. We're busy with work we do for ourselves in life, the things that happened between morning and evening, but what about between evening and morning? Sad fact of life is, in this world, is that we often forget the nature of God's work day. From evening to morning, God works in this world and in our lives. While we sleep, God is still there at work. The story is told of some workers at an electronics factory in Bristol, England. Had been sleeping through the night shift for more than 16 years. It's a true story. Their operation, it was quite sophisticated. They had fabricated secret bedrooms in the walls and in the ceilings of this electronics factory. Each night, half of the workers would go to sleep while the other half would work on the line. The next day, one half of the workers would switch so that every other night they'd get to sleep through the night shift. It seems the workers were only found out when some outside contractors were called in and they found some spare utility wires, electrical cables, and even plumbing that traced through the ceiling to who knows where. And so when they kind of pulled away that ceiling, they found mattresses, blankets, pillows, sheets, lamps. They even had a shower up there. And of course, an alarm clock in those secret compartments. Can you imagine that? Sleeping through the night shift for more than 16 years. My Aquafit friend is wrong. Our God does not sleep through the night shift. So when you lay down at the end of your day's work, rest yourself in God's work. Ask yourself, what is God working at tonight? What is he doing in places where I can do nothing? What is he doing in places in the lives of my children or my grandchildren, in the life of my spouse or my siblings? What is God doing in the life of the person I work with or who works for me? What is he doing in my heart and in my desires and in my life? What kind of work is God doing through the night shift? God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here who works the night shift. This kind of reading of Scripture and the way we're applying it today kind of skips out on the people who work at night. And I got to thinking a little bit about that. What about the people who work at night? I guess for the people who work at night, you've got an intimate view of God doing his work. And so if you work on the night shift, be encouraged too. God saw all that he had made and it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning. So often in our lives we run and run and run and run and run, trying to make our own way. We do that even in our own spiritual lives. But God's calling us to trust in him, to allow him to do his work, and for us to celebrate in the work that he's doing and to participate in that. That's a big part of the end of Genesis chapter 1, where he offers to us the reality of receiving everything that God had created so that we can be co-creators with him, to name, to rule, to subdue, to eat and to drink and to enjoy the life that God had given us. And God saw all that he had made. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning in your life and my life as God works. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for what it teaches us. We are grateful for the rhythms that it paints for us in living life. We're grateful for the ability to work. In Genesis 1 here, we learn that we are made in your image and likeness. And what are you in Genesis 1 but a magnificent creator? And so, Lord, we thank you for the creativity that you can place within our lives. We thank you for calling us to govern and to rule graciously as you do, to name and to create and to eat and to drink and to be satisfied with what it is that you give to us and what it is you call us to do. Lord, we pray that we would rely upon you and your presence as you continue to recreate our lives. We recognize that our sinfulness has caused a gap, that those things that you called good and very good kind of got broken, and that we continue to break them as we live our lives and as our sinful nature manifests itself and as our daily struggle with sinfulness continues. Lord, we pray that as you recreate us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would hunger and thirst for your word, that we would hunger and thirst for your creation in us, and that we would recognize that as you have begun a good work in us, you will see it to completion, and also as you have worked your work in those around us, you will see that to completion too, and very often you ask us to help in that. And so we thank you for that opportunity and for that privilege. We trust in you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And we pray that you would bless us, that you would be content with the work that you do in our lives. For you are creating all within us as it should be. In Jesus' name it is that we pray. Amen.